We thought that this would be a great series for us in the month of November, just kind of that no fear, just with all the attitudes going on in the world right now. And then, of course, the election and the controversies that go with that, and dealing with the pandemic and many other life situations. So the idea was No Fear November was to be built around dealing with fear, overcoming fear, and looking different aspects of fear. Kyle gave us a great kickoff last week. And today we're going to continue in looking at the fear of rejection. And if you brought your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll land there a good bit today. I might share with you a passage out of chapter 13. But that's where we'll land and spend most of our time. And we're going to look at a guy named King Saul, the very first king of Israel. And we're going to find out that the fear of rejection was very much a part of his life and his journey. And so we're going to learn some things, how to increase our fear. We're going to learn that. And then also, how do we get to the other side of rejection in our own lives? So let's pray. God, speak now into these moments to our online community, to those who have gathered in person. And we just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would reign and that lives would be touched and transformed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, there was one principle that we learned last week when Kyle was preaching. Well, one principle that we learned, and if you're new today, that's fine, it's no problem, but it's a really important principle. You know, many times we will say that we're afraid of the future. We will say it. We'll say it about what we've just seen or witnessed on about the election or the pandemic or whatever it may be for you, but we will say that we fear the future. But what we're really saying is we have had some experiences of the past that were very, very painful, created hurt in us. And then as we step into the future, get this, as we step into the future, what we're really saying is we just don't want that feeling to come again. We don't want that experience to happen again because it was so painful and so hurtful. So many times when we say we fear the future, what we're really saying in our lives is that, you know, I just don't want that feeling of the past to, you know, to affect my life. That feeling that I had so that I can't move forward in my life. And I thought about that, you know, many, many times in my own personal life, in your life. I mean, have you ever been rejected? And have you ever been rejected? Some of you going, no, I've never been rejected. Well, you're in need of psychotherapy. But we've all been rejected at some level, at some point in time. We've all had to deal with rejection. Like you tried out for a team. Maybe you made the team, but you never played. Or maybe you tried out for the team and you didn't make the team. And something like that could be very painful. Maybe you really wanted to be in a certain fraternity. Maybe you really wanted this sorority, and that one didn't match up with you. And so, you know, it was a feeling of rejection. Maybe you, in the old days, I know today we text, maybe in the old days, like in the sixth grade, you were sitting in a classroom, you wrote a little note out, and you said, hey, will you go with me? Yes or no? And you fold it up and you sent it and she looked at it. And she not only said no, she said ugly no. You know what I mean? And it was just like this feeling of, you know, rejection and pain. So do you know what the word rejection means? It means to throw back. Rejection means to throw back. This is the experience. You're moving in one direction. And a life experience happens, and you feel like you've been thrown back. That's rejection. For example, you have a job. Maybe you've been with that company for 20 years. And then one day they say, we're not going to need you anymore. We love you, but we don't need you anymore. And it's just the rejection. No longer going to need your services, the rejection. You just feel like you've been thrown back. Maybe you're in a relationship and that relationship meant the world to you. Maybe you were married, whatever. And then years later, the person says, I don't love you anymore. and all of a sudden you've been thrown back in your life. That's rejection. So remember that today. Rejection means to be thrown back. Now, we don't want to feel rejection. I certainly don't want to feel rejection. I know you don't want to feel rejection. I mean, it's just one of those experiences that you don't want. But I do want you to remember this now. When you move into the future of your life, when you begin to look at the future and you say, I'm afraid of the future, I want you to understand that what you're typically saying is, there's something that happened behind me that threw me backwards, and I just don't want to have that experience again as I move into the future, okay? That's a really important thing to consider as we go on this journey together. Now, today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to focus in on how to increase your fear. Isn't that awesome? I mean, you're all going, you don't have to win me on that, pal. You don't have to win me on that. But that's what we're going to, I've got to show you that so that we can see how to get to the other side. So what we're going to do is spend just a little time looking at how to increase our fear. And I think, I really do think it will impact us in a mighty way. All right, real quick. I got to give you the context of what we're about to look at in the Bible. You've got to know what's going on or you're going to miss the whole thing. All right, so I want you to remember this. We won't go into great detail, but Israel in the Old Testament, when they finally get their freedom and they move into the land of promise, you got that? They finally move into the land of promise. You got to understand that they are now 12 tribes. 12 tribes. Most of you know that. But this is where we tend to forget what's going on. There are 12 autonomous tribes. They only come to help each other when there's war. And if you read in the book of Judges, you'll find that there were judges that would lead them and unite those 12 tribes together to fight like the Philistines. That mighty warriors from the Mediterranean area. Mighty warriors. They would fight the Amalekites, mighty warriors in the desert, and then the parasites, the stomach issues that went with it, okay? And so, but I want you to understand that there are 12 tribes. They're autonomous. They only come together when there is a war, okay? So I want you to understand this context, because now here's what happens. They've been looking around at other nations. Samuel, who is the prophet of God at this time, Samuel, he's getting older. And as he's getting older, the children of Israel are now saying, what are we going to do when Samuel goes? What are we going to do when he dies and moves on to God? What are we going to do as a nation of 12 tribes? So this is what they say to Samuel. We want a king. We want a president. Is it too soon? Anyway, is it too soon? But that's really, biblically, this is what's going on. We want a king. We want a king. And God finally tells Samuel, they want a king? Yeah, they want a king, God. They want a king. We want a king like every other nation. God says, you want a king? I'll get you a king. Yeah, you want a king? Okay, you don't trust me enough? You don't trust the prophets that I provide? Okay, fine. You want a king? You're going to get a king. I mean, that's really the attitude. If you read it, that's what God does. It's kind of like, all right, they want a king. They're going to get a king. And so here's what happens. God sort of tells, not sort of, he tells Samuel, Samuel, don't worry. I will find the king. I will pick them out, and then you'll anoint them, okay? You'll anoint them and appoint them. That's what you'll do, Samuel. He's the prophet of God. All right, so get this. All right, so here's a little bit of your setup to understand they're crying out for a king, all right? Now, here's what happens. There's this guy named Saul. Saul is in a really funny circumstance that probably won't seem funny to you at all. In a funny circumstance, Saul and a servant are out one day looking for their donkeys. Yeah. Anyway, just go with that. They're looking for donkeys. Daddy's donkeys are gone, and Daddy wants his donkeys back. So Saul and his servant go looking for the donkeys, and they go from here to here to here, and finally they have heard that there's a prophet named Samuel, the prophet of God, who will tell them possibly where the donkeys are. And this is the setup. And so they finally get to this place where these ladies say to Saul and the servant, Samuel's here. He's about to make a sacrifice. You need to ask him and he will be able to help you. And so Saul, he goes in and he meets Samuel. And when Samuel sees him, you've got to know this. Saul is 6'6". He's got this long, flowing black hair. I mean, ladies, when you look at him, he looked like one of those characters on a romance novel. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got that look. I mean, that is who it is. And God's saying, this is the man. This is the one. And the beauty of trying to know what Saul looks like is we have archaeological evidence of what Saul looks like. And I want to show you what he looks like. Yeah, I wanted you to. That looks like Elvis, doesn't it? Looks like Elvis. Okay, please take that down as quickly as possible. But anyway, so joking with that, but thought I'd wake y'all up just a little. So this is what Samuel does. You ready? Samuel says to Saul, you're the man. We're about to anoint you king. You know what Saul does? He says, me? Saul goes, and y'all may think, well, he was so humble. No, he was fearful. He said this. You know what he said to Samuel? He said, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, which we already know. But then, which, by the way, the tribe of Benjamin was the small tribe, insignificant tribe. And so in this point, what I want you to understand is Saul says, I'm from Benjamin. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. But then get this. He said, and my personal family are crazy. I mean, that's really what he said. He said it. It was kind of a general way, but he basically said, you don't want my family. They're wacko. You don't want, so he's real scared about this. But Samuel says, Saul, you're the man. And he anoints him, which means the sacredness of God upon his life. And now I want to show you what happens next, because this is going to be the part that will show you some things in the Bible about how to increase your fear, all right? So I want to look at how to increase the fear of rejection. So here's what I want you to remember. Fear will just orbit around Saul's entire life. I want you to remember that. Some of you, you carry fears. Some of us, we carry fears. I will carry them on occasion. I'll be honest with you. But some of us here today or online, we just let fear orbit around our lives in everything we do. In everything we do, we carry this fear that orbits our lives. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you real quick. Here we go. How to increase your fear of rejection. You ready? Number one, grow rabbit ears. Have you ever heard that? That term was used when I was growing up playing baseball. That was a term that we were used. Grow rabbit ears. You know, and I think you know what that means, right? You're listening to the wrong people. And so the idea was you got these big, you know, your ears are way too big, and you now listen to the opinions of others to shape your life. I listen to the opinions of others to shape my life. That's what it means to grow rabbit ears. In baseball, we would play, and if the umpire would get into the game or he'd listen to the crowd, heckle him or make fun of her or whatever, you know, a lot of times they might make a call to settle down the crowd. A player would listen to the accolades of the crowd and then later the bitterness and the hatred of the crowd. That's what it means to grow rabbit ears. People would do it all the time. And are y'all aware that we are now living in a world where all we drink, are you ready? All we drink is Haterade. That was good. You might want to write that down. We don't drink Gatorade. We all drink Haterade. Oh my gosh, we hate. All you got to do now, I mean, now we've got social media. Social media is a great gift if we know how to use it. But when it turns into Haterade, and it has turned into that for many people, and then you listen to it, and you listen to it, and you are formed and shaped by it, it affects your life. You got to understand something. Saul has rabbit ears. I'm going to show you. He's got rabbit ears. And he's going to listen to the crowd. And he's going to, now hear me, he's going to forget that he matters to God. That he was picked to be king. And he's going to forget all of that. Samuel says, all right, here we go. Saul, you're the man. You are the man. And so they anoint him and they appoint him. And this is what I've got. I want you to see what happens, okay? 1 Samuel 10. All right, we're diving into the word. I want you to watch what happens to Saul when he discovers he is going to be king. Watch this. When all those who had formerly known him, I would say some of those were haterades, saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? That's Saul. Is Saul also among the prophets? Look at the next verse. A man who lived there answered, and who is their father? Like, who's their daddy? Who's his daddy? And it became a saying. Now, you and I won't see this as a joke, but this was humiliation on Saul. Is Saul also among the prophets? That became a statement about him all the time. And he's got rabbit ears. So if you don't understand, this is what's happening. When Saul was told by Samuel and anointed as king, don't miss it, and he's anointed as king, I'm going to tell you what happens next. Saul has a religious experience. He does. And all of a sudden he starts dancing around and prophesying like all the other prophets. But what happens is he's got rabbit ears, and all the haters, all the hater-aides, they're now saying, what in the world is he doing? Does he think he's a prophet of God? And so basically their statement against him again and again and again and again is, you know, Saul, you're not a prophet. You're not a prophet. And so what they do is they mess with him. And the problem is he listens to the trash. Have you ever listened to the trash? I can't believe all the hate that people put out on social media. I'll see people post that. I can't believe if you don't like what I say, get off my account. Be careful of your rabbit ears. I know there are haters out there. I actually know how to delete. Anybody else? But rabbit ears, folks, don't you misunderstand. It's like you really want people to like you, and they're not going to like you. So I want to remind you of this right now. There are people, that I call them the not like you people, and you've got to remember that they're not going to like you. And you have to do what God says, love them and move forward. Saul's mistake is this, and your mistake may be this as well. The people who pour into your life are haterades. The people who pour into your life could be possibly people who are extremely negative, and that's all they can do. And so you're never encouraged. And basically, you know what happens? You fall prey. You are their prey. And they just go after you again and again and again. All right, so here's what happens next. All right, so be careful of the rabbit ears. Saul has rabbit ears. Here's the next thing. Samuel wants to have a press conference. All right? He wants to have a press conference so that all of Israel can see that Saul is the new king in town. Okay? So he wants to have a big, big, big press conference for all of Israel. And they want to say he's anointed and he is appointed. And what we're going to learn now is that the second way to increase your fear is talking bad about yourself. Talking bad about yourself. Just basically saying negative things again and again and again about yourself. We're always talking to ourselves, folks. I mean, listen. Right before this big press conference for all of Israel, Saul's uncle comes up to him Saul's uncle comes up to him. Now, this is right before the big press conference. And Saul's uncle comes up to him and basically says to him, hey, what did Samuel say to you? And I want you to watch this in chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. Saul's uncle comes up and says, hey, what did Samuel say to you? Now, this is the anointing of the king. You're going to be the king. What did he say to you? The uncle wants to know. Listen to what he says. Saul says, well, he assured us that the donkeys have been found. I don't know that that would have been my first go-to line. I probably would have said, well, I'm going to be king. But his first go-to line is, we found the donkeys. Got to have those donkeys. But he did not tell his uncle, watch what Samuel had said about the kingship. He doesn't tell his uncle about being king. Why? Rabbit ears, haterade, and now look what Saul is doing. He's talking bad about himself. He's talking bad about himself, and he doesn't even tell his uncle what has just happened. So I want to tell you something about the fear of rejection, okay? Saul listened to the not like yous, and it affected him. If you listen to the not like yous, or I listen to the not like yous, they're going to affect your life. I'm not talking about good, healthy evaluation. No. I'm talking about the not like you people that hang around and love to chew on you or me. So there's going to come this experience for Saul to where he just talks badly about himself based on his rabbit ears. So here's what I want to ask you real quick. What do you say to yourself? How do you talk to yourself? Now, I know a lot of you are going to say you don't talk to yourself. You know, but I talk to myself. I do. I'll walk around the house and I'll murmur. I will. I walk around, and Mara, my wife, will say, you're murmuring, and I do that to drive her crazy. Does anybody else? She says, you're murmuring, I can't hear a word you're saying, but you know, this is what we do. A lot of us, we talk to ourselves, and what would you think? I mean, seriously, what would you think? What would happen? Are you ready? What would happen if people could hear what you say about yourself?
Man, I wonder if they're really awake, this crowd. Are they listening? Oh, look at that guy over there. No way is he listening. I wish his wife would just give him a little elbow right about now. Oh my goodness. I just don't know if people are connecting with me. I bet it should be coffee and donuts. That would take care of it. You know, all of a sudden the energy level would be high and wonderful. What would people do if they knew on occasion that I wear makeup on my forehead to control that big shine that I have? I wonder what people would think of me. Am I fidgety? No, I'm not fidgety. No. These glasses are awesome. No. And my hair is looking good. Yes, it is. I wonder if the church really knew how I feel about my shirts and how special they are. And does this one look good today? Wonder what they think.
What a silly example. I would never do that. I would do that. And I wanted to make a point to you. What would people hear if they heard us talking about ourselves? What would they hear? I want you to take note in 1 Samuel 10, verse 22. I want to show you something, okay? Real quick. So here's what's going to happen. So they inquire further of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has hidden himself among the supplies. Keep it right here. All right, so what happens? What transpires so you don't get lost? All right, so after this experience of, anointing him and appointing him, and now they're getting ready for the major press conference of all of Israel that Saul will be king. All right, this is what they're saying. So they inquired further of the Lord, where is he? Where's Saul? We can't find Saul. Here's your answer. He is hiding among the baggage. What? I mean, y'all, this is serious Samsonite baggage issues. All right? I mean, serious Samsonite baggage issues. All right, here you've got a guy that's been appointed and anointed to be king. You got it? And he is listed growing rabbit ears. He's talking badly about himself. And I want you to see what happens. The king of Israel is hiding in the baggage. He's hiding. Now look at verses 26 and 27. So from there, Saul comes out of the baggage. You know, it's kind of an awkward moment. You know, here's the king of Israel. And so after all that that's happened, watch this. Watch this real quick. So he goes home in Gibeah, and watch this. This is so important. Accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. That is critical. He actually has people in his life that could pour value and love and encouragement into his life. They're right here. He's on his way home, and they're right here. But now watch what happens in verse 27. But there are some scoundrels. And they're like, well, how can this fellow save us? The not like yous. And they're also going with him. You understand this? They're also going to Gibeah. And they despised Saul, and they brought him no gifts. And Saul kept silent. Do you understand what's happening? His rabbit ears, he's been listening to the complaints of the people he feels rejected. And now here he is, he's headed home. And there are literally, listen to me, there are literally people in your life who could pour encouragement and love and the gift of grace in your life. And you and I choose the people, the not like yous, to be the ones that talk to us and show us the way to life. That's what Saul did. That's how you up your fear of rejection. That's how it just comes to take over your life. Is because you and I allow the people who are so negative and haterades that they're the ones that we listen to that pour into our lives, and then we begin to talk that way. We begin to live that way. And yet, you know what's so interesting? We have people who are great influential people in our lives, and we don't listen to them. And so I want you to see this. It affects you. And Saul is affected. You can read it later, 1 Samuel 13. There's this moment where Saul's son Jonathan, fights the Philistines. They fight all the time. Fights the Philistines, and he defeats them. It's a major win. And you know what Saul does? It says in the scripture in 1 Samuel 13, it says that Saul acknowledged the victory, but he never said a word about Jonathan, his own son. And so this is the point of today. I want you to see it. People who prance around in their pride reveal a self-esteem that's so brittle. People who dance around all the time with their pride and that, you know, they one-up everybody, every conversation has to come back to them, everything's about them, they reveal this brittled life. All right, here's number three. You go with your feelings. So you want to up the fear of rejection in your life? You go with your feelings. You got this commotion of emotion. Real quick. You know, so you've been married for 20 years. You wake up one morning and you go, oof, I just don't know if I want to be married anymore. I just don't feel in love anymore. And the problem is you had some bad pizza the night before. And, you know, the pizza was horrible. It affected your indigestion system. And now you're going, I just don't feel very, you know, I don't feel capable of loving you. It's because you had bad pizza. And so, you know, you watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and all those shows, and it's always about, we'll fall in love in less than 6 weeks, and it's all about feelings. It's not about that. No, feelings are great. Whoa, okay. They're great. Feelings are great, but feelings will lie to you. Write that down. They will lie to you. All right, watch this. 1 Samuel 13. So now, here's what happens. Samuel has told Saul, don't you fight those Philistines right now. You wait till I get there. And when I get there and make the sin sacrifice, then you can fight them and you'll have the victory. This is just one of 100 stories, y'all, in the Bible. And Saul, there's 3,000 chariots from the Philistines, 3,000. It is impressive. And Saul and his men are shaking a little bit. They're a little worried. Samuel said he would show up, get this, in 7 days. They will pray, offer the sin offering, and then God will give the victory. Well, about day 4, they're all scared. Somewhere in there, they're all scared. And the men who follow Saul, they now begin to drop their weapons and leave. They begin to leave. And Saul's like, what's going on? What's going on? I mean, what's about to happen? And so, you know what Saul does? He says, guys, wait. And Saul offers a sin sacrifice. He's king, but he's not prophet. And this infuriates Samuel and God. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul said, well, now watch this. This is about feelings. Here we go. When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, so Samuel, you were running late, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, okay, so you saw that. I saw, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. And watch verse 13. You crazy man. That's really what Samuel says. You crazy man. You have not kept the commands the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. Did you notice the feeling? If you go with your feelings, I saw, I thought, that means my perspective, and I felt. And so the point is, many times when we go with our feelings, it leads to so much trouble. I saw, I thought, I felt. And so be very careful, be very careful when you live your life by feelings, because feelings will come and go. So let me ask you this as we go. What's on the other side of rejection? What's on the other side of rejection? You know what it is? Your greatest blessing is on the other side. Do you remember, I'll wrap it up with this. Do you remember when Goliath shows up and Goliath wants to fight Saul? Goliath just happens to be a little over 9 feet tall. Now, that's not a big deal for me, but I'm 6 foot, so he's 9 feet tall. He's out there shouting for Saul to come out and fight him, and Saul's doing this. I'm not going out there. I'm the king. I'm not going. And so you know what he does? He starts asking his soldiers to go, and they're like, I'm not going. Not going. Nope, 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 nope. So David, y'all remember, a little boy shows up, young man, young teenager shows up. He goes to where his brother is in the army line, and he says, how come you're not out there fighting that giant? And his brother says, would you get out of my face? Just get out of my face. He was rejected by his brother. David then goes to Saul, and he says, you know what I'll do? I'll fight the battle for you, Saul. Saul goes, you're a little kid. No, no. Saul rejects him. And then he walks out there by himself with Goliath and that slingshot. And if you remember, Goliath looked at him, and if you read it, it's in the Bible. Goliath said, I mean, it was ugly, but he said, you got rosy cheeks. And if you ever want to offend a man in that time period, you just say you got rosy cheeks. It's like you're soft. You're just soft. And it was just one rejection after another rejection after another rejection. I want you to remember this as we go. You know why it didn't affect David? Because David lived from a perspective of the acceptance of God. Did you hear that? He lived from the perspective of the acceptance of God. I want to say this to you. Jesus was rejected by men, but he lived his life from the acceptance of God. In your rejection, in your fear of rejection, your greatest blessing is when you live from the position that God accepts you and He loves you. Let's pray. God, I hope that there are people today that would hear this that are battling the fear of rejection, how it orbits around us, this fear. And I just pray for so many of us that just need to live to immerse ourselves in the acceptance of Jesus. That even though He was rejected by men, He was accepted by God. And so God, in these moments, remind us that the greatest blessing is when we live from the acceptance of Your love. I pray for anyone today who needs to say, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my love, as my Savior, as my Lord. Come into my life. Set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for today. God bless you. May the power of God go with you. Amen.